From scrambled eggs to iconic train stations, and Colin Bissett's taking us to Italy and to Florence.
How do you build a new station in a Renaissance city? That was the dilemma facing Florence in the early 1930s, when they had to replace the existing station with something bigger. The competition winner, designed by a team led by local architect Giovanni Michelucci, was not what anyone expected. For a start, it was so modern. The site is across the road from one of Florence's loveliest churches, the 16th century Santa Maria Novella, and the new station was everything that the church wasn't: simple, undecorated, functional. But it's not all white concrete and vast windows. Instead, its slender lines are faced in local stone, and its windows framed in bronze. In other words, it uses the same materials as those seen across the city in far older buildings, like the bronze baptistry doors and the stone of the Medici palaces. It's this that makes it fit in. The more you look at it, the better it becomes. It's no wonder that Mussolini gave it his blessing. When Mussolini came to power in 1922, Italy was a poor backwater. He aimed to change that and started to update the railway system, which, coincidentally, made it easier to transport troops. Famously, he made the trains run on time, but a more lasting legacy was the building of new stations. The grandest was in Milan, and the others tended towards a cool, stripped neoclassicism. They were modern statements of a rival and showed that Italian cities were not simply museum pieces, although stepping from Venice's simple station into the hubbub of the Grand Canal is pure theatre. The station at Florence made a star of Michelucci, who went on to design several major buildings in the city. He used local stone to harmonise the new with the old and brought as much light as he could into the heart of his buildings, using internal streets and atriums. Everything was about enhancing the pleasure and practicality for the user. This care for people was evident in the way the new station didn't need nearby residential areas to be demolished, as other competition designs did. The debate over how to build new structures within historic environments is always lively. The glass pyramid at the Louvre is a good example of how something extreme can generate affection. And the recent outcry over the removal of the brutalist Sirius building in Sydney says much about how fond we can become of the designs that were once found difficult to love. There's something similar at play in Florence Station. As one of Italy's busiest hubs, its elegant simplicity today gives the traveller a moment's pause before stepping out into the mad bustle and beauty of one of the world's great cities.
Colin Bissett there, taking us to the very iconic Florence Station. And if you want to catch some of Colin's other iconic buildings, they're up on the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website, where the archive is a veritable treasure trove of old iconic buildings and other stories we've done over the past couple of years. There's also a news section on the archive part of the website that makes it easier to find old senses of place, where you can hear people ranging from musicians to politicians to everything in between talking about the places that have changed and defined them. So go and get amongst it. Also, while you're there, subscribe to the podcast. We love to have more subscribers, and it'd be lovely to have you amongst them. We're out of time for another week. We're back here same time, same place next week, where we're talking in part about restoring your garden after a bushfire. So join us for that if you can. Otherwise, bye for now. Bye-bye.